So on August 21st of this year, this past year, 2017, we had a total solar eclipse across pretty much the entire U.S. And the University of Missouri is located in Columbia, Missouri, and we were pretty much directly in the path of totality. So the College of Agriculture, we used that opportunity to conduct some research and kind of that research that we're still going through and things like that we're developing into some videos and stuff to share. So here's the total path of totality as well as a time lapse of the phases during totality. And it's not really marked on here, I don't know. But Missouri and Columbia were right about, right in there, right smack in the middle of totality. So we had a really great opportunity where we had, I think our total time was about a minute and a half of total darkness. So we were looking at plant responses. Some plant families will fold up at night regularly, like the mimosa family. And then we also looked at some drought-stressed plants, corn and soybean, that will have different reactions at night. We also looked at animal responses. We looked at chickens to see if they went to roost during totality. We looked at fish because there was a 1906 report in Nature that during a total eclipse at that time noticed more fish activity both kind of before, during, and after totality. And we also looked at insects to see whether they got more active during totality. We also looked at some young horses, which are pictured here, but there were some outside influencers. Their caretakers came and gave them hay shortly before totality, so we're not sure if their responses were actually in response to totality in the actual eclipse or some outside sources, so that wasn't very conclusive for us. Our goals with our research and then the presentations we want to do now after the fact are to create multiple around 2-minute videos for different kind of age groups. We want to have different visions or versions of the videos, a full video showing all content with a voiceover for middle school, high school, post-secondary school use with a little more information, then kind of shorter videos with truncated content for more elementary and some middle school use that's not maybe as in-depth based on their science knowledge and level. And then we'll also develop a full video without voiceover so the classroom instructor can choose what they want to teach about that day or what aspects they want to pull out. So it was kind of a big group of us working on this. I am Stephanie Sidoti, and I was photographing the eclipse itself that day, and I'm the one kind of, I'm the creative aspect of putting these videos together while the scientific experts are giving me the information and telling me kind of how to present it. So we also had Dr. Bethany Stone, who's from our Division of Biological Sciences, our astrophysicist, Dr. Angela Speck, and then additional videographers from academic support, because I wasn't able to be everywhere at once because we had almost, I think, about 5 different aspects we were looking at in a couple different locations. So a potential problem or opportunity that we had in some of the research, especially looking at the plants, was the plant circadian rhythm or their internal clock, where they know what time it is and they close at night. And we were curious to see whether that would be affected by the eclipse or would kind of supersede the darkness that would come with the eclipse and they wouldn't respond. Some of the measurements we looked at were light intensity, light quality, temperature changes, stomatal conductance. We documented the phases of the eclipse so we could put that with the visuals. We looked at the drought stress plants, and then some of the plants we exposed to either 72 hours of continuous light or 72 hours of continuous darkness before we brought them out for the eclipse, and that was kind of to an attempt to break that circadian rhythm. And we had those plants along with a control to see whether that's whether the circadian rhythm overcame the eclipse or not. We also did some pre-event promotions, and through the university website, radio, both local and regional, and online magazines, as well as our social media outlets, and we were able to reach 81 million people. We also had members of the community come out to some of the research farms and locations and actually watch the eclipse on site and see some of the research we were doing, watching the plants, watching the animals. I have some video examples. This isn't our final video yet, but kind of an example of what we're planning on doing. I'm not sure. I think I need to click the video itself. There it is. And so as an introduction, the background noise you're hearing is we set up a microphone away from people in kind of a natural area to get that insect and animal noise and listen to it. This next section is kind of just a time lapse sped up that we may use supplemental to kind of the scientific to show what you might have seen if you couldn't have actually been in totality to see it happen. All right, I'll go ahead. This is different from the first section, but I'll go ahead and explain a little bit. The first video you saw the plants was the mimosa and the clover. This is the drought-stressed corn and soybeans. And so some of the aspects in here, we do have those phases at the top, so people kind of can have a relationship of what they're seeing the plants doing versus what the sun looked like at that time. It may be hard to see, but the chart here is, it shows solar radiation as well as air temperature. So you can kind of see how the amount of solar radiation, the amount of light, then correlated in a temperature response. And then the images, we had video of the entire time of the plants, but we pulled out still images because there was a little bit of wind that day, so the sped up version is really shaky, but the still images allow us to see some of those changes. And the presentations, when these are going to be used in classrooms, the goal is to kind of maybe show the students what happened first of just the plants and introduce a question as to what they think the temperature did and how it affected it. And then kind of probe them to answer and then have the voiceover or have an answer to show them and then show them the temperature graph and things like that. But there's also the changes are fairly minor, and so watching the video several times is really how you get the effect, and you can see those changes. With the drought-stressed plants, the corn we're looking at closer because the responses, if there was one, were really hard to see. So we didn't detect any obvious changes, so they're still looking at the results of the corn. The soybean did open up during totality, expected to be a response to the reduced light and the coolness. It felt able to open up. The clover was closed up during full sun to conserve water, and it appeared to perk up during the lower temperature around totality, but it pretty much held its circadian rhythm and didn't respond to the eclipse, but it did close up at sunset because we also stayed out or went back out at sunset that day to monitor whether the eclipse affected the plant's response to sunset. The mimosa, the control that we didn't attempt to disrupt its circadian rhythm, was the one that actually closed during totality, and the full daylight and the full darkness actually didn't respond to totality, but they all responded normally at sunset. So some things that we're still looking at is analyzing the light spectrum and the stomatal conductance from eclipse day. Initial readings on the light spectrum is that the eclipse actually does mimic daylight to dusk to night transitions in terms of light quality and light intensity. And we're also looking a little bit more at the information from the fishing and the chickens. The fish, from what we could gather, we didn't get a huge input. We kind of opened it to the community and asked community members if they wanted to fish, record what size fish they got. We didn't get a whole lot of information back, but we did have a number of people fishing at a pond on site, and this was the largest fish caught. It was measured at 16 inches, and it was caught very shortly after totality. And then the chickens, I'll go ahead and play a short clip with the chickens. There we go. So the chickens did start kind of grooming each other and preparing to roost. They didn't have enough time to actually go to roost during totality. But as you'll hear in a second, the rooster did actually crow during totality. So we also have the 2024 eclipse. The path of totality is coming close to Columbia. It's going to cross southern Missouri, and there are some other research centers that the university has there, so we're already kind of planning on either retesting some of the same things or planning what new things we can test to then incorporate. And does anyone have any questions? Yes.
How'd you get involved with
this? I got involved. I am a graduate student at Mizzou, finishing up a master's in journalism, and I actually have done part-time video work for the College of Agriculture for about a year and a half now, doing videos kind of to be like virtual field days where people can go online and watch a minute and a half to 2 minute video or a video series about either the research we're conducting, or we did one series kind of on our swine teaching facility. So that's how I got involved, is I was the videographer. Yeah.
I might miss this, but when do you anticipate that these will be available?
When they will be available, I can't tell you an exact date per se, but again, our emails are up here if you want to contact Tim Reinbott. He was kind of our lead in getting this set up. And we're working on the videos currently. That's what I've been working on recently and will continue working on. And we're also getting more research from other people throughout the college who happened to be doing research that day and didn't necessarily know what we were doing day of, but have found out what we're doing, and they're giving us information to include, like the stomatal conductance and kind of the light intensity. So we're getting more information to incorporate too, which is great. Yes?
Stephanie, are all these going to be on the Mizzou YouTube site? Is that the end goal of this for the videos?
Yes, so the end goal of where the videos will be, I would say they will probably appear, yes, on Mizzou, CAFNR, CIFNR, our YouTube channel. There is hope to kind of make a video page on our university, like College of Agriculture website, which will have all of our like virtual field day videos, the ones we've already completed, these and any future ones. And because we do have plans for these to go to like to elementary schools and stuff like that, I think we are planning on reaching out to some of the local like public schools in mid-Missouri, but I think if people also reached out, if you couldn't find them online and you're interested in potentially using them, again, contact Tim Reinbott or some of the others listed here on the emails, and we'll make sure that you're on our list so we can let you know where you can find them when they're finalized. Yeah. Any other questions? All right. Thank you.